Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way. Have you, have done so many times before, through a window or an open door, I stretch my hand. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you now, I need you now, I need you now, I need you now. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the ways of trials that beat upon me, but to know, Lord, that in you not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, oh, oh Lord. Please make a way. Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hello UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. So if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ, and that makes you a UCA member. Hallelujah. I'm your host for today. And I guess always on this particular program, my name is Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 917-986. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. So come and visit us, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. Come and visit us. And I think you would really, as a matter of fact, I know you will be blessed. The Spirit of the Lord is always there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Let me repeat that, 646-668-8537, or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram, and just click on the link where you see the post for this particular show in order to listen from your computer, okay? And you can, on Facebook, you can click on the picture of this particular program, wherever you see it on Facebook, and you can listen to it for all this week, you know, and probably next week as well. So just go ahead and do that. That's just in case you missed today's program. You can go ahead and click on the link on Facebook or click on the picture on Facebook of this program, and then listen to the entire program, okay? All right, now don't forget to order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. I'm telling you, this book will be a blessing to you. It will help you in your walk with the Lord. It's going to go deep. It's going to go really deep for you, so be prepared for that, because we need to have the revelation of Jesus Christ so Jesus can build his church. He's building his church from the off of the revelation of who he is, and we have to know who he is. Who is God? Let's unveil the mystery, or do our best to unveil the mystery. Okay, so order the book. It's available on Amazon, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Okay, go ahead and do that, and then check us out on The Message of Life. It's we're on hsbn.tv. It's The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, my wife. And you can check us out pretty much the whole week. You go to that television app, and you can see all of our shows. Just put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, and you can do it. We're also available on other apps also, you know, like YouTube and just many other apps that you'll be able to see, and you can watch the program this whole week. You can even go to our website. It's churchofjesuschristministry.com, all lowercase, no spaces, churchofjesuschristministry.com. And you can go there, go under the media page, and you can watch us on hsbn.tv. It's a lot on that website that you can look at. You can look at the video of my single, Jesus So Beautiful. You can be able to see many things. You can check out our blogs. Yeah, it's T. Meyer's blog and Tasila's blog, so read them both. This is a really good website that I think that you'll be really informed and blessed, okay? So go ahead and check that out, churchofjesuschristministry.com in small case, okay? No spaces. All righty? Listen, you stay right there. Don't you dare, repeat, don't you dare go away. We will be right back after
there ain't no stopping us.
Hallelujah. You are listening to UCA Radio, United Christian Ambassadors Radio, where you will hear music and the message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and we are going to get right into our message for today. Today is a Resurrection Day message. The Resurrection Day message. I know yesterday was Resurrection Day, and I pray that all of you had a really blessed day and that you all kept in mind the purpose that we celebrate Resurrection Day, even though some people say Easter. I like to say Resurrection Day, and so that's what it is. And we pray that you all remember. Now, we're Christians every day. We give thanks and we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because our whole belief is based upon his resurrection. And we just praise God for it. So let's get into our message today. Father God, I ask that you open the hearts and the minds of the people, that they will hear this message, Lord, and that it will bless them, Father God, and give them more of an understanding of how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ truly is. Help us to understand more and more about you, Lord, as you continually unveil yourself to us. We bless your holy name and we give thanks to you in the mighty, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The Resurrection Day message. When Jesus died for us, he died for the whole man. You have to understand that. He died for the whole man, body, soul, mind, and spirit. We understand that the suffering in his flesh was more than any ordinary man could take. We read in the Bible about how he was beaten, and I mean truly beaten. We have no idea how bad, but he was truly beaten, flogged, with a leather strap that consisted of balls of steel dipped in blood and covered with sharp crushed pottery to make it sticky. Lead sharp bones, balls of steel, and many other things, having big, thick spikes in his hands as well. You know, when they nailed him on the cross, this was big, thick spikes in his hands and feet, pierced in the side, and had a crown of thorns on his head. Now, these thorns were like 6-inch thorns, and they were placed on his head more like a cap. You know, when you look at television or pictures and stuff, they have a little circle and stuff around his head, you know, with that happening. But actually, it was like a cap that covered his head. And they beat him on the head while these 6-inch thorns that was on the crown, as it was on his head, they beat it even more into his head. I mean, it was such pain and suffering that the Lord, you know, he had to go through for us. You know, if we would go into detail of his sufferings, and if we were truly there to see it for ourselves, we would not be able to take it. It would have made us all sick to our stomachs, and would have left an impression on our minds that we would never be able to shake if we actually saw it ourselves with our own eyes. Keep in mind now, I'm talking about God. This was God, the Word of God made flesh, suffering in the flesh for our sins. The work was finished in the flesh. He became our sacrificial lamb and died for the sins of the world. Therefore, our flesh is delivered. We can now experience healings, provision, deliverance, peace of mind. We are saved from anything that can be a disaster to our flesh and our way of thinking. We understand that part very easily, but we don't focus on what he did for us in the spirit, what he did for our very souls and our very spirits. Keep in mind that God formed man of the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. He was a spirit and a soul wrapped up in a dirt body. But understand, that dirt body was good dirt. That dirt was mingled with precious stones, precious jewels. Not like the dirt we have today, okay? Now, in this hour, or now, Jesus died for our dirt bodies. You see, that good body was before the fall. But after the fall, Jesus had to die for our dirt bodies, which is really dirt, so that we can receive our new celestial bodies. And now our dirt bodies has to be destroyed or dissolved in order for us to receive our new celestial resurrected bodies. These dirt bodies we have now cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It can't enter in. It must be dissolved. It has to be destroyed. It has to be dropped so that we can be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So Jesus had to destroy his own body, which was in the likeness of our fallen flesh bodies, so that our bodies can be changed. Okay, so what about our spirits and souls? Keep in mind that Jesus died for the whole man, like I said earlier. The whole man, body, soul, mind, and spirit. He had to suffer the sorrows of hell. Many people don't understand that, but he did. He did that for us. He had to suffer the sorrows of hell for our spirits and souls also. St. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, that God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. His soul and spirit had to suffer as a man in order for us to be fully redeemed, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Please understand that Jesus was first brought back to life and then went on to get his resurrected body. You see, hell could not hold him. God brought him back to life, and then Jesus had to go and get his resurrected body. There's a difference in being raised from the dead as opposed to being resurrected. Keep that in mind. There is a difference. Man has raised people from the dead for thousands of years. Many people have been revived, even in hospitals, daily, or by an ambulance, a medical team on an emergency. Many people have been brought to life, brought back to life, in other words, but they were not resurrected. That's the key. Even Jesus raised people from, even Jesus brought people back to life. He raised them from the dead. Even Jesus did that. Like, for example, the 12-year-old little girl in Mark chapter 5, verse 41 and 42. 41 and 42. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, that means immediately, the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. She was brought back to life, but she was not resurrected. The woman's son at a funeral was raised from the dead by Jesus in Luke chapter 7. Remember this? Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. Now when he, Jesus, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Now, when the Lord says weep not, that means something's about to happen. When you're in the midst of something and he tells you weep not, that means something's about to happen. And he came, Jesus came and touched the coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. Can you imagine the happiness that his mother felt to see that her son was dead and now he's fully alive? Can you imagine the joy that she felt? And then fear came on all of them because they never seen anything like this. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. The young man was brought back to life, but he was not resurrected. And then you have Lazarus. John 11, verses 43 and 44. And when he thus had spoken, the Lord had spoken, he was praying to the Lord. The Lord was praying to the Father. And when he finished praying, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, because they had wrapped him in grave clothes. So he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go, because he don't need to have those grave clothes on. He's alive. Even before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus told Martha that he is the resurrection. He was the resurrection then, and he's still the resurrection now. But all these people were all brought back to life. They were not resurrected. When someone is truly resurrected, then that means that they are changed. Remember that, changed. And I'm not just saying, you know, your way of thinking have changed. No, you are completely, totally changed. The true meaning of resurrection means change. It means that you have been changed from a fallen state of being. You have been changed from a fallen state, a state of being in a simple, corruptible body. You've been changed from that into a celestial, holy body. a body that can never be destroyed. This is true resurrection. The people during that time didn't fully understand resurrection. Many of the Jewish leaders didn't believe in the resurrection. Like, for example, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, Jesus had to show them, he had to show the people physically someone being brought back to life. He had to show them being brought back to life to let them know that he had power over death. Many believed in the resurrection simply because they saw people being raised from the dead. But that wasn't the resurrection, but it allowed them to believe that there is a resurrection. But in order for them to truly understand the resurrection, Jesus had to show them personally. Therefore, he needed witnesses. Jesus died for our sins. Then he was brought back to life, which was when Mary saw him. This wasn't the resurrection. He was brought back to life, which was when Mary saw him, but she was unable to touch him. Remember that scripture, John 20, verse 17? Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, or go to my brothers, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He could not be touched at that point because he would have been defiled. He had not completed his mission. He would have been defiled if she had touched him at that point. If she had touched him, he would have to do the whole redemption process all over again. He could not be touched. It was the same with the Levitical high priest. As they do their part in the temple and offer sacrifices for the people, they could not be touched at that point or they would be defiled and would have to go through the whole thing again, the sacrificing and all of that for the people again. Jesus could not be touched because he had not ascended to the Father to receive his resurrected body at that point. Mary saw him when he was brought back to life. Therefore, she was the first to preach that he is alive. She was the first witness that saw that he came back to life. But the apostles were the first witnesses of his resurrection, of his resurrection body, while in the upper room. Because when they saw him, he had already ascended to the Father to receive his resurrection body. It was then, after that, that they could touch him. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through 43. And as they thus spake, they were all talking, you know, in the upper room, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. He just stood. He just appeared. He simply appeared and stood right in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He had to really convince them, hey, this is really me. You've been walking with me for 3.5 years. This is me. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, in other words, they were happy for joy and wondered, he said unto them, to further convince them that he's not a ghost, have you here any meat or any food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Jesus had his resurrected body. He had his resurrected body and just appeared in the room while the doors were shut and locked. He had a body that could just appear and disappear. He disappeared after he spoke to the two men walking about 7 miles out of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24. verses 25 through 31. Now, these men had just, you know, they were kind of disappointed because they saw Jesus being, was crucified. So they were feeling down and out because they thought that this was the Messiah, the one that would free us from the Romans and all of that. You know, this was their concept. Well, truly he was and is the Messiah, but they didn't understand that. They saw him crucified, so they saw him die. And then Jesus heard them talking, and he joined in with them and was walking with them and asked them, what is this that you're talking about? And they were like, well, don't you know what happened in Jerusalem? And they told him the whole story. And then Jesus replied and said, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken of, all that the prophets have spoken. You're slow to believe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. My goodness, wouldn't you have loved to have Jesus start with Moses and all the prophets and explain all these scriptures to you? Wouldn't you love that? I know I would. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. You know, he kept walking, making it appear that he was going to keep walking. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You see, Jesus wanted them to constrain him and ask him to abide with them. That's why he made as though he was going to keep walking. And they did. They asked him to stay with us. He said, they said, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They knew it was Jesus. And then right after that, he vanished out of their sight. He disappeared. He vanished out of their sight. They saw him in a different form, in so much that he had to unveil himself so that they could know him. You know, he unveils himself to us even in this hour so that we can know him better. In many ways, he unveiled himself to us. And keep in mind, and when he did this, this was after his resurrection. They saw the resurrected Christ. And then he simply disappeared out of their sight. I mean, he vanished, as scripture said. That, I know, must have really blown their minds. You see, Jesus had no limits in his abilities while being in his celestial resurrected body. He can do anything. He was showing his disciples the type of body that all true believers will receive as well. They will receive it as well once they are resurrected or changed. So keep that in mind. You're going to have a resurrected body that has no limits. We will all receive restricted celestial bodies. We will be changed, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 50, verse 51 through 55. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery, you know, a hidden secret. We shall not all sleep. He means we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's resurrection. And we shall be changed. That's what he's saying. You may not all die, but you will be changed. Some people will be changed while they're living. They'll be changed. Some will go by the way of the grave, but yet they will be changed once they're resurrected. Some people will be changed and receive their resurrected body while they are alive. And some will go by the way of the grave. But either way it goes, you're going to receive your resurrected body. If you are a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be raised incorruptible. He goes on to say, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. You have to. And this mortal must put on immortality. Why? Because flesh and blood, mortal flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom. So you have to be changed. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's at that point that we can actually mock death. We can say to death, we can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Where's your sting now? Oh, grave, where is your victory? This is the mystery. And Jesus demonstrated this mystery by showing his disciples his resurrected, celestial, incorruptible body. Jesus had to go first. He had to receive his celestial, resurrected body so that we could have a model of what kind of body we will have, that we will receive. Keep in mind that it is God's perfect will for us to be in his likeness and image again. But he had to create that image, and that image is the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. That's the image we're going to be in. So now, because of the suffering, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can all be changed according to the will of God the Father, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, that's us, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. We were predestined to be conformed to his image, the image of the glorified Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are his brethren, male and female. We're his brethren. He, you know, Jesus is the firstborn. He is the firstborn because to be resurrected means to be fully and completely born again. I mean, really, not just saying you're a born again Christian, but you are really mentally, physically, spiritually changed. Even our very souls is changed, revived. We're changed. Completely. This is true new birth. This is true resurrection. We cannot experience true resurrection unless we are changed, because true resurrection is change. When Jesus was resurrected, he had the ability to change forms, like he did when John the Revelator saw him, or change appearances. Like he did when John the Revelator saw him in the midst of the golden candlesticks, the golden seven golden candlesticks. Once again, this was after his resurrection. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Now, when he says white like wool, he means pure white with even a glow about it. And they say like wool because that's the only thing that he can kind of compare it with. As white as snow, he says, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass as they burn furnace, and his voice, the voice of the Lord, as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Can you imagine that? We can't even look at the sun. But his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That means it was such glory upon him. This form was a different form from the other forms he appeared in with his disciples, like when he appeared to them in the upper room. He didn't appear to them like that. And from the form that he appeared when he was walking with the two men, he appeared as just a regular man when he was walking with them. He even had a different form or a different appearance when the apostles came when they came in from fishing. Remember when Peter jumped in the water? When the apostles came in from fishing, John 21, verses 3 through 7, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know. They didn't recognize him. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you will find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fishes. They had caught more than enough. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John the Revelator, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Each time Jesus had to be unveiled to them because they didn't recognize him at first. We will also be able to change our appearance or our form. We will be able to have a body like Jesus, even when he transfigured himself on the mount, remember? And the way John saw him in the midst of the golden candlestick church, we will have no limits in our abilities just like Jesus. We will have no limits in our abilities, none. Keep in mind that we will be just like Jesus. As it is written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That is such a great high privilege for us to be called sons of God. And when he says sons of God, he's talking about sons and daughters, sons and daughters, that we will be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And we shall behold him when he comes. We will see him and we will behold him because we will see him as he is, and we will be changed because we will be like him. We will be changed. We will see him as he is. We will be like him. We will be changed. That's what I meant when I said some people will be alive when Jesus comes, so therefore they'll be changed into their resurrected body. Some people will be resurrected. They'll come from, they'll go by the way of the grave and be resurrected. Either way, you're going to get a resurrected body. So for Christians, it's a win-win situation. That's why I hold on to the Lord. Stay with him. We will even change from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. We're changed, even beholding him, his glory, we will be changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The perfect will of God is for us to be resurrected, which means to be changed, fully, truly born again, to look like the glorified Jesus Christ. That is his ultimate perfect will for us. And it is all because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to do that. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Don't go away. We'll be back. For this week, you might want to write these down, okay? Acts 2, 24. God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the sorrows of hell. as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. Praise the Lord. Here's another one for you. Mark chapter 5, verse 41 through 42, 41 and 42. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Here's another one for you. Praise the Lord. John 11, verse 43 through 44. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Praise the Lord. Okay, man, praise Jesus. Let's just do one more, okay? John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Oh, he brought God near to us. So now he's our Father and our God. Praise the Lord. I hope you guys really got a lot from this message. Remember, if you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, see the post for this particular show, and click on it, and you can hear the entire program. You can hear the entire message, okay? So go ahead and do that. Tell your friends to do that so that you can all be blessed by this, okay? And keep in mind to tune in on Wednesday. You can dial the same number, 646-668-8537, for Christian Talk. Sometime our Christian Talk program will be a TNT program, and then sometime we have special guests. So you never know, so go ahead and tune in and see what's going on. Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And that's on Solar Records Radio, which is what you're listening to right now. Just dial that same number at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. And this is Pacific Standard Time. So it would be like 6 p.m. Eastern. And then you just check your time zone because it's all over the world. You can just go ahead and dial in, okay, or listen from your computer. As I've always put in my post, that you can listen from your computer. Alrighty, so make sure that you do that. Make sure that you order the book, as I was stating. Order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. You will be blessed. Go ahead, when you order it, order a few copies. Order some for your friends and family members, okay, so that they can be blessed. It's going to help. It's going to help you draw closer to the Lord. You will fully begin to understand the Bible, the reasons why certain things were done in the Bible, the reason why certain things were said. You will have a good understanding of what's going on. So be sure that you do that. All right? Okay. Okie dokie. And what else? The Message of Life, TV. Make sure that you check us out on hsbn.tv. You'll see Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila. And come and join us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry in Upland, California. All right? It's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. You'll be blessed if you're in that area. Okay? Just come on and visit and let the Spirit of the Lord move you and help you to grow. Some loving people there, you'll love it, okay? So just come on and visit us, and I think that's about it. So we're here again next week, UCA Radio, United Christian Ambassadors. We're here next week, so be sure to tune in. Tell your friends to tune in, because I depend on the Spirit of the Lord to give me a good message to give to you. So tune in so that you can be blessed as I am blessed by giving these messages, and I pray that people that are listening are also blessed. So until then, I will see you next week. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. We will see you later. Bye-bye.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call.
Gave me your love.